episode 2. We're talking about Killing Eve today, which is one of our favorite shows.
So in case you guys don't know, which is shameful, Killing Eve is a show by Phoebe Waller-Bridge that stars Sandra Oh as Eve and Jodie Comer as Villanelle. And it is essentially a cat and mouse game. So it starts off as Eve working for MI6 and Villanelle being a paid assassin. So Eve is like on a mission to catch this woman. It later becomes more so they are having so much fun with this cat and mouse game that they form this kind of obsession with one another that then becomes kind of an infatuation.
It becomes this like psychosexual weird obsession thing. They're both powerhouses in this. Honestly, just the three of them, Phoebe, Sandra, and Jody, it's like...
it is an unbeatable team. And they've all won awards for this, like every single one of them.
Also, just to let everybody know what we're drinking today and how it's inspired by our show. So I am drinking a vodka because, as we know, Villanelle is from Russia. And Russia plays a very large part in the show. So I thought it was only fitting. I'm drinking a vodka soda.
Wow. Well, I am taking a page out of your book last week and I'm drinking champagne because something very important to Villanelle. When you first meet Villanelle, number one, she's living in the most incredible Parisian apartment with the most incredible clothing and filled with champagne. So I'm drinking champagne right now. Probably not as expensive as the one that Villanelle's drinking, but, you know.
We do what we can. We can't all be Villanelle as much as... yeah. I mean, I don't know that we'd want to be an assassin, but...
I don't think necessarily...
she sure makes it look fun.
She's passionate about her career.
Eve, in the beginning, is working at MI5 as a protection officer. There's a string of strange international murders that are happening, and she eventually gets put on this sort of secret department of MI6 that is investigating the murders under Carolyn Martins, who is the Russia desk of this department. Villanelle learns in the first few episodes that Eve is sort of running this investigation, and they're after her, and they've put together that she has been doing all of these murders. And so my favorite episode, I think my favorite scene in the whole three seasons so far, is episode 5.
To set the scene, so before this happens, Villanelle has this obsession with fashion, which we'll get to. But she stole Eve's suitcase when Eve was on a mission and refilled it with all of these insanely amazing clothes in exactly her size, like perfect fit, just like tailored to her.
She puts on the dress and she puts on the perfume and the pumps, and her husband's not home, and she goes downstairs and she clearly thinks someone's in the house, and she turns around and Villanelle is in the house just staring at her. And of course Eve like runs upstairs, she's screaming, she's freaking out because this is a literal assassin.
This is the first time they've ever met. So, like, this assassin who she's only heard about and she's only like pictured in her head is literally in her home chasing her.
They're kind of like fighting each other, and Eve is soaking wet because she's in the bath, and Eve goes, "What do you want?" And Villanelle says, "I just want to have dinner with you." And it's like classic Killing Eve, where it just goes to a place you did not see coming. And so they sit at the table and they're eating shepherd's pie, and they start talking, and you see this just magnetic force between them.
It's so intense because they're, you know, both trying to get like a little information, well, not a lot of information, but they're just like trying to figure out stuff about the other, but they're also just like so drawn to each other. And then also because it's Phoebe, there is then like comedic relief. Like, my favorite part of the entire dinner together is like at this point Eve's like crying, like so panicked, still soaking wet, and she had changed out of the dress, and like they're having the most intense conversation, and then Villanelle just interrupts her to be like, "Just to clarify, is your sweater attached to a shirt, or are those two separate things?" Like, just, she's a loose cannon.
She says to Villanelle, "I know you're an extraordinary person. I know something happened to you, and I know you're a psychopath." And Villanelle says, "You should never tell a psychopath they're a psychopath." It upsets them. And then she does one of my favorite choices. Eve says, "Are you upset?" And she does this like pouty lip and closes her eyes and does a slow nod. And it's so good.
It is incredible. And all over Shepherd's Pie.
It's also a really interesting conversation because it sets off a lot of what the rest of the show is about, because Eve is asking Villanelle who she works for. And Villanelle says, I think if you went high enough, you would probably find that we work for the same people. And so that idea is kind of something that is explored throughout the whole rest
of
the show.
Like, one of my favorite things that happened that is kind of a metaphor for their relationship going on is at one point Villanelle, soon after this, sends Eve a lipstick, and it's like the exact perfect color. Like, it just looks incredible on her. She's putting the lipstick on, she's thinking about Villanelle, she's like semi turned on by it, and then she cuts her lip and she realizes in this extraordinary, like, very enticing lipstick, Villanelle has put a razor, because you can never trust this woman too much. And it's like this pain that Eve knows that Villanelle will continue to cause her for as long as she's in her life, but like she also is like so captivated by it that she's like loves the danger and like loves this like unexpected, like she almost like becomes happy when she literally slices her lip open. So when we meet Eve, she's in a good marriage, a good relationship. She really did love Nico. It was just like this whole situation that she would have never expected. Like, she would have probably been pretty happy for the rest of her life had she never met Villanelle, which becomes this like itch that she just needs to scratch. And Nico is supportive and loves her and like listens to her. And at first they're very honest with each other, even about Villanelle. And then it becomes a disaster. And the thing about Nico is with Villanelle, like, you do know that Eve really did love him, because Villanelle takes very few things seriously, but she really does take Nico seriously and makes him off limits for herself. She will kill anyone, and she won't kill Nico because she's so afraid of what Eve would feel like about her if she did it.
And I feel like the closer Eve gets to Villanelle, the worse off her relationship is with Nico.
Eve becomes the villain to him more so than even Villanelle is the villain by the end of season 3, where we're at now.
She is still, I feel like, trying to convince herself that she is doing all of this for the right reasons, and she's hunting Villanelle and she's hunting these assassins and she's putting it all together for the right reasons. And it kind of gives me like a Walter White Heisenberg kind of vibe, because at the beginning of the show, Eve is working in intelligence and they're putting the bad guys away, and it's like you think this is all good, this is what we want. And it slowly transforms and it slowly evolves to a place where you're like, okay, well, what's Eve's involvement in all of this? And how are her actions really making all of this worse? And where are these decisions stemming from? Like, it's not always stemming from, especially in season 2 and 3, it's not necessarily stemming from a good place anymore. It's stemming from this unhealthy, toxic relationship that she has with Villanelle and keeping that alive.
Season 1, I feel like, was kind of like all about Eve and like meeting Villanelle, coming to terms with Villanelle. Like, you really see every layer of her, and Villanelle is this assassin. So obviously she's a very captivating character, but you don't really know anything about her. And then season 2 is kind of them working together the whole time, so there's a very even balance of the two. And then I feel like season 3 has really kind of been Villanelle slash Oksana slash Jodi's, like, her season, just like learning who she is, like getting in touch with her, like actually seeing her emotions. Like, it has just taken center stage.
In season 3, episode 5, she goes back to Russia to kind of find her family. And we learn a lot about Villanelle and kind of how she got to where she is now. And it's really interesting because what we find when we go back in that episode is her relationship with her mom and how formative that was for her.
Villanelle is ultimately just a kid who wants to have fun and be happy, even in being an assassin. Like, she just does things to like have fun and have these games with herself and interact with other people and like kind of get out her creativity, which sounds insane, but like she never really had that opportunity to be a child who was happy and loved.
She says to her mom that she doesn't care that she left her at the orphanage. She doesn't care that she didn't pick her up. What she cares is that her mom won't admit what she is and that she's her mother's daughter. Villanelle's mother says, I don't want you in the house anymore. I don't want your darkness here. And Villanelle says, you're the darkness. You were mean and you didn't like me because you saw yourself in me.
Like, I feel like we learned so much in this season, like how much of a little kid she actually can be. We talked about how she has all these interesting relationships with kids. Like, they're kind of the only people that she gets along with, aside from Eve. And like Constantine, her handler, who she looks to like definitely as a father. She like fights for his attention with his own daughter. And so I just think that you saw in this episode, like, did her mother deserve what she got? I don't know, but she did abandon her child, and Villanelle went to jail and then was picked out to be an assassin. Like, she just didn't even have a chance to be a kid ever.
Right. And we learn even in season two, she actually in disguise has a very honest moment, and she talks about how she's just always bored and she doesn't feel things, and so she has to do these things to make herself feel something. And that makes sense when you think about the way that she kills people and the signature she puts on it and the fun she has with it and the fun she has with her clothes and the travel and the apartment and the women that she sleeps with and the men that she sleeps with. Like, this is a person who does not feel things, and in her weird way is trying to, in the only way that she knows how, which is through the only thing she's ever been good at, which is killing people. And this can lead us into talking about the 12. The 12 are this, it's this shadowy figure that kind of runs throughout the entire show, and we see how all of the characters interact with it in some way.
So this is season 3. We watched 3 full seasons. But we have no information. Like, I feel like I know maybe less information now than I did at the start of the show about the actual organization.
We find out in season 1, midway through, that the 12 is this international organization that Villanelle works for. It's an organization that has their hand in politics, internationally.
Stock market.
Weaponry.
Ordering assassins.
We don't know if it's 12 people or 12 governments or 12
nations, corporations.
We don't know anything. In season 2, a lot of the plot is about how the 12 is trying to buy this weapon from this billionaire son. And it's this data that can tell them anything they need to know about anyone. In season 2, Villanelle is at one point in the beginning of the season sort of being held hostage. She calls the 12. She actually has her code phrase and she says, it's Cher Horowitz. I failed my driving test.
Incredible.
A nice little LOL.
Such a good moment.
A great moment to Clueless. A great call out. But we really don't know a lot about the 12.
I just got HBO Max, of course. And I'm watching Pretty Little Liars for the second time, which is, I do with that information what you will. But I've been watching it, and I was also like rewatching some of Killing Eve simultaneously, and I'm like, wow, the 12 is essentially A from Pretty Little Liars. Like, we've had all these seasons and like we think we constantly are learning a little more information, and then we know absolutely nothing, and I'm just like just as riveted.
Another part of the 12, kind of, we don't know, is Carolyn, who is the head of the Russia desk on MI6, who in season 1 is bringing Eve on and is really spearheading this whole thing.
And that's like when Villanelle says in the dinner party episode, like, she thinks they could be working for the same person, who knows? Like, that's the thing. Like, Carolyn, she knows an awfully lot of people that may or may not be in the 12. We really don't know. But she has so many connections. I have a list of question marks that, again, this is like Pretty Little Liars with A. Like, is this going to lead me to anything or is this not? ever. Like, what happened to Hugo in season two is probably my biggest question. Like, he was murdered and we left his body, we think, but like, we never actually saw what happened to his body. We don't know who killed him. Like, we have no clue. And that was an entire season ago.
Yeah, we have no clue. And it's like, are these little hints that we're getting red herrings? Do they lead to something? Like, in season one, with Carolyn having all these connections with people who work for the 12, we find out that she has known Constantine for a million years. They had a romantic relationship. They have
love it.
I love Constantine. They have this past. She has a past also with this other guy, Vlad, who works for the Russian intelligence. We know Constantine works for the 12, but then when we find out that he has a past with Carolyn, we find out that he's also works for Russian intelligence. So it's like, all of these intelligence people, all of these spies, like, are they all double agents? Like, we don't know.
Are there 12 of them? We have
no clue. Is Carolyn a member of the 12? We don't know.
Again, with the powerful women, though, like, complex, powerful, quirky, like, the whole thing women. My favorite scene of season 3 with Carolyn is that she's having a business meeting and Eve, like, walks into her house to engage and it's with, like, a guy who works for her. Eve walks in and they're just in the bathroom. Carolyn's having, like, a full-on bubble bath conducting this, like, very important meeting of intelligence. And, like, none of the characters are missing. Like, she has her sexual history. She has, like, her kids. She has, like, so many different layers to her. But she's just this, like, woman. She's just such a boss who thinks that she can conduct business from her bathtub because she said that that's where she thinks the best.
I get it. I love a bubble bath.
I was reading a theory about Carolyn. So this is, again, how little we know about the 12. That, like, they think she is a double agent. And, like, did she put the hit on Kenny just to, like, cover a bunch of things up? I obviously read this in, like, a Reddit thread, so I can't really confirm or deny. We don't know because season 4 has not come out and we don't know anything about who killed Kenny, but she has a lot of skeletons in her closet.
You never know what's going to happen in this show. You never know what twist it's going to take because we're finding out information as the characters are finding out information. We're finding connections and skeletons, and it's all a twisted web that we're kind of unraveling in real time. I mean, I feel like the fashion aspect.
I mean, the fashion, if you watch this show for nothing else, there are a billion reasons why you should be watching this show. But I feel like that was my original hook when I didn't really know what it was about. Now you all will because you've listened to this podcast. But Villanelle's clothes are to die for. And you will because she's an assassin.
They're amazing. Her style in the show is, I mean, it's just the opposite of what you would imagine an assassin. You would think, oh, they try to blend in. They're going to wear all black. They're going to be like a random nobody.
But I feel like this goes back to, like, Villanelle, like, truly just kind of being a kid at heart. Like, she just uses all these opportunities, all these missions as, like, an opportunity to play dress up. Like, she goes all in on the roles when she needs to kill. And, like, she uses that to choose her outfit, essentially.
What's your favorite look that she's had? I mean, it's so hard to pick, but
can I do, like, a top three?
Please.
So my favorite, I mean, she wears this pink dress that's iconic, but I'm not even going to put it in my top three because I feel like that's, like, all over the internet. But I just feel like I have to announce it.
It is an iconic look with the
mesh
pink
dress,
like,
yeah,
giant tulle dress, mesh dress, oh, and the black combat boots. It's iconic.
So my favorite just, like, outfit of hers is when she's in Amsterdam and she's wearing this big pink blouse with this ginormous pink, like, taffeta skirt and these big earrings. And she's, like, just sitting writing God knows what, because, like, who's she writing anything to? Like, she's just in this zone to have this whole moment. And this girl, like, comes up to her and asks her if she can Instagram her. She, like, looks like she is, yeah, should be on the cover of Vogue in this scene. And she's doing absolutely nothing. I think she, like, goes into a bar and eats a sandwich. And then she's so offended that this girl would ask to take her photo. And then my second favorite, so the first dinner party episode we discussed, there's a second dinner party episode in season 2 where her and Eve are again seeing each other for the first time of season 2. Eve's trying to get Villanelle's attention. So she has the 12, like, do a hit on Eve. And, like, Villanelle gets it. So, like, Villanelle's essentially supposed to kill Eve. But it's all a setup. And Villanelle is obsessed with Eve at this point. And she shows up in this, again, like, tulle mesh, high collar, black gown with a veil over her head. Just, like, just to dinner. Eve is literally in, like, a tank top and casual pants. And she comes in looking like she's, like, at a royal funeral. And it's such a fun, like, juxtaposition of the first dinner, because at this point, like, Eve is still in the room with a full-on murderer, and in fact this murderer is supposed to kill her, but she's just, like, so at ease and, like, obsessed with everything happening. She walks in and she's like, can I take your veil? I think my third favorite is when, also in Amsterdam, she acts like someone from the red light district, but for some reason she decides to, like, go all in on this costume with a pig's head. Meanwhile, she's just fully murdering this guy in front of everyone, but people just think that it's, like, a prank. And she's wearing this gigantic pig head for God knows what reason, like, of all costumes.
She just makes the boldest choices as a character and as an actor.
She is just a talent.
There's so much to the show. There's so many layers.
And it's only 8 episodes per season, which I think is the most upsetting thing. Like, you can very easily binge this show. It's on Hulu and then AMC the last season.
What is on your watch list?
What is on my watch list? What am I watching? Well, aside from PLL, which is very sad, I have to start I May Destroy You. That's, like, what I'm meaning to start tonight. That's been on my list forever.
Love it. I think I'm going to start Quiz.
Yes.
With the actress who plays Claire on Fleabag and the actor who plays Tom on Succession, which is one of my favorite shows. I love Tom Wamscans. He's amazing. So the combination of the two of them, it looks great.
Well, we will see you guys next week. We cannot wait. Thank you for tuning into episode 2, and thank you for all the support on episode 1. We absolutely adore you.